Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Could a drug called Vivitrol play a role in helping many in the Bexar County beat the opioid addiction? A pilot program at the Bexar County Jail has been funded to administer the drug to a group of qualifying volunteers. In other trials, the drug has been shown to be effective in ending the cravings for opioids and helping patients find and maintain sobriety. What is Vivitrol and how does this program work? You can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this half hour by TJ Mays, chair of the Bexar County Opioid Implementation Task Force. And TJ Mays, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And Mike Lazito's here. He's the director of the Bexar County Criminal Justice Department. And that means you're in charge of the jail? Is that what that means?
No. It's basically my department. Work for the Commissioner's Court. So oversee the medical examiner's office, the crime lab, pretrial services, justice intake facility, just the coordination of it. And then jail population as far as trying to help with the numbers of it, but not actually managing the jail itself.
All right, so you got enough to do without me telling you to take over the jail.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, it's good to have you here, and
thank
we're going to find out more about what you do and how and the role you're playing in helping beat the opioid crisis that we have here locally, at least with this one particular program. TJ Mays, could you tell us about this opioid treatment program in jail? What is this?
Yeah, so one thing we found as we were investigating the opioid crisis is that there are some key times, critical touch points when someone is at danger for death or disease associated with opioid use. And the most vulnerable time someone is to an opioid overdose death is within a month after leaving incarceration. The odds of overdose increase dramatically after incarceration. And it's not hard to understand why. Someone detoxes in jail, go back to the street, buy the same supply that they don't have the tolerance for, and they overdose. So it was interesting when the federal government offered to fly us at the task force and other task forces around the country to Philadelphia to see what Philadelphia has done in their jail, which is implement all three forms of FDA-approved medication-assisted treatment in their jail. So hopped on a plane, flew to Philadelphia and toured it and came back realizing that this is a solution we needed to implement here in Bexar County to reduce opioid overdose deaths and reduce recidivism, which it does, which ultimately helps us save money as well.
And this is a program that's administered in jail. Mike Lazito, if you could tell me, if an individual is addicted to heroin, they get arrested, they get put in jail, what typically happens to that individual? Obviously, they're not supposed to get any more heroin when they're in jail or whatever kind of opioids they may be taking. Do they just go cold turkey? How do they? And that can be very dangerous. Being dope sick is very unpleasant.
Right. So when an individual comes into jail, they get a full medical assessment for the individual. So at that time, they'll find out if they're addicted to any kinds of medications or drugs that they may have. And if they are, then what they'll do is we have what we call a detox section at the jail that will get them off the drugs so they won't have that need for the drugs. Now, physically, psychologically, they probably do, but they won't be able to access, you know, physically to have the medication. So once they have a detox, usually it's about 10 to 14 days in that process, and then they'll move them over to a regular cell unit on there. The reason we were looking at medication-assisted treatment is some individuals that are in jail, that is a good opportunity to start working with them to help them when they transition out, because most of the people, 99% of the people, probably won't stay in jail forever, right? Most people get released, so they're back into the community. And this gives us a perfect opportunity with the Philadelphia, what they're doing over there. You kind of have a captive audience that if they're voluntarily, they want to stay off drugs when they get out, then this is a great opportunity for us to address that.
So I know that methadone is brought to the county jail every day for people who are seeking methadone treatment to end their opioid dependence. And so do you have to be prescribed in jail, or is that you already, how do you know who's going to get a methadone dose?
So currently for the methadone, the only program we have right now for Medicaid-assisted treatment on there is for women that are pregnant and they're in the process and they have been using, so they're maintained with methadone while in custody on there. So that's the actual only program that we have to provide that service, and that has to be prescribed by a doctor.
So if an individual is using methadone to control their addiction and they have a prescription for it and they've been doing this program for a while and maybe they get arrested for something else and they end up in a county jail, they're not able to get their dose?
Right. They don't continue on there. They would detox from the methadone with the guidance of a doctor.
Yes, and TJ?
One thing we're seeing throughout the country is that facilities that are not providing buprenorphine or methadone to those who need it or prescribed it are facing lawsuits from the ACLU and other organizations. This is an emerging issue nationally. We haven't seen it in Texas, but you've keyed in to an important point that we're starting to see some traction on nationally.
Yeah, I mean, that's harsh, isn't it?
Well, that I think it's up to a doctor to, I guess, determine that. And then
they have a prescription for methadone already. The doctor decided that they should have it. But it's a policy that we have in Bexar County Jail not to allow that prescription to be filled.
I think that, that would have to be addressed with the sheriff. But I believe the only program they currently have is for women that are pregnant that are currently using methadone, and they continue because I think it harms the baby.
But looking at this other program that we're talking about this afternoon, this Vivitrol, this is a drug that completely blocks all cravings for opioids and even alcohol. So, and this is seen as something if you're able to provide it to willing participants in this program, this could end their desire to get high on heroin and things.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's why we're looking at the Vivitrol on there. And then by having a grant, it gives you the opportunity. Grants usually are ways that you can look at different types of programs that are happening in the country and be able to kind of do a pilot to see what are those outcomes and is this something that will work great, for Bexar County. And that's really what we would like to see on there, because it's not an inexpensive drug, right? So on there, the way it is it's not a daily pill. The way it's administered through an injection, and it lasts about 30 days on there, and generally they need 4 to 6 months of injections with counseling to...
So it's a monthly injection. It provides individuals who are addicted to certain opioids from having the desire to take them again. This is also part of a complete treatment program that includes monitoring, counseling, behavioral contracts, and lifestyle changes. And this is a way to try to provide off-ramps for many people that we have in our community who are dealing with the effects of being addicted to opioids. We're going to talk more about how the program is administered, who qualifies for the program, and what happens after if this program is seen as a success. How do we get more people involved? You can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this.
Support for this podcast comes from Sunshine Cottage's Noche del Sol, a fiesta kickoff event with Mexican food, entertainment, and deloritas, plus a raffle and auctions to benefit the School for Deaf Children, March 26th, 6 p.m. More at sunshinecottage.org.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Medication-Assisted Treatment Grant Program is what this is called. It is a way that we're providing Vivitrol a drug that has proven to help people kick the effects of opioids, but it is not an easy solution. There are certain ways you have to get to the point where this will work. And we're looking at that at the Bexar County Jail as we have a pilot program that is being launched. We're joined this half hour by TJ Mays and Mike Lozito. He's the director of the Bexar County Criminal Justice Department. You can call in with your questions and comments. Number's 210-614-8980. So TJ Mays, what are your hopes for this program?
So the long-term goal is to create an infrastructure that will support medication-assisted treatment for all patients who may need it within the jail and offering all three forms of FDA-approved medication-assisted treatment. This is a first step in that direction, but there's a way more ambitious goal at the end. Ultimately, we want to reduce overdose deaths, we want to reduce recidivism, we want to increase employment after incarceration and allow people to live happier, healthier lives. And we believe that this puts us on the right track to do that.
A lot of people are focusing on the fact that a dose of this drug, Vivitrol, costs $1,000, but it's a once a month dose. And so if you were looking at a daily dose type of, it kind of not that much different than if it were a daily dose and you looked at a monthly cost as well. So is that how you see it?
Well, yeah. So every form of FDA-approved medication-assisted treatment has its advantages and drawbacks. Vivitrol, for example, is non-addictive, non-narcotic, and has no street value. Those are its advantages.
Right, it will not get you high.
That's right. Disadvantage is that the patients need a detox to take it, which is painful for them, and then it's also very expensive. The other forms of medication-assisted treatment also have disadvantages. For example, buprenorphine, for a physician to prescribe it, needs to have a special DEA waiver to prescribe it. So there's a personnel issue with that. There's been great leadership on that at the Long School of Medicine at UT Health, getting more physicians with more waivers, but it's still a barrier we need to address.
All right, let me go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Tino, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering if, are you treating this more of an addictions model or more on the criminal model to treat the opioid epidemic?
All right, thank you for that. And Mike Lozito, director of the Bexar County Criminal Justice Department, do you see this as you're treating a medical ailment or... how do you see it?
I see it as both in the process because they're in there on criminal charges, but it does give an opportunity for somebody that has an addiction and they want to get help to be able to provide that service for that person on there. But that's a great question because it really looks at a study that we had done for the opioid, and the first question that on the study was is, we really need to work in Bexar County to figure out are drug addictions, is that a criminal issue or is this something that needs to be looked at more of as a health issue? And how do we address it as a community? Because our downfall is that we don't have enough unfunded inpatient beds, and the beds are, you know, they run anywhere from $250 to $400 a day. So when you start looking at the cost of Vivitrol versus somebody being inpatient for 90 days or 120 days, there's pretty significant cost for that individual. And then the other thing with our community is we probably haven't increased an unfunded bed in Bexar County since the 90s.
So you can look at individuals who are addicted and see that they may be committing some crimes in order to maintain their addiction, break into cars and do things, maybe nonviolent crimes, in order to find enough money to get high. But looking at whether or not the fact that this individual is buying this illegal substance and they're using it every day, and is that where the illegality comes from that you're concerned with?
Yes, on that part. Well, but then it's the philosophy of, you know, because they do have the drugs, and like right now we have a violent task force that's been in effect since 2017 that are out there, and they're concentrating on, like, big-time drug dealers, and it's very good that we have this emphasis on there. But when they're out there doing these arrests that are out there with the drug dealers are those people that are the users, right?
So right. But by providing treatment mm-hmm. and getting people off these drugs, like with this program that you're helping Absolutely. Bring about, they will no longer be going around doing these crimes and, in effect, will actually be making this a safer community.
Yes.
One study I saw found that in a jurisdiction in Massachusetts, after they implemented a medication-assisted treatment program in their jail, there was a 10% decrease in crime. So we've actually seen decreases in crime in other jurisdictions as a result of this program.
And so who qualifies for this program? They have to be volunteers? They have to be nonviolent offenders, I understand, according to what I read. Is that right?
Yes. So generally,
is it men and women? Men and women?
Yes, men and women for the program, which is good, too, because we, for inpatient beds, Bexar County sorely misses women's inpatient drug treatment beds. We don't have enough of those unfunded beds. So this program allows for both. What will happen is as individuals get through detox, we have a licensed counselor that goes in and that will interview the individuals and do an assessment on them. And what we can do is we'll find out what types of drugs they're using, and then at that point, do they want to be in the program? And then we'll work with the judge to see about, you know, having this individual start them with the injections and then eventually get them released under supervision to be able to fulfill the program with the counseling.
And so to be clear, an individual has to be completely clean of all opioids in order to begin this regimen, this program.
Yes.
And if they don't, they could have an extremely a negative reaction.
Right.
So that's one reason why you have to have individuals who have gone through detox, no methadone at all, nothing. Right. And so when they're clean, they can begin taking the drug. And y'all are looking at, what, 4 months of treatments?
Yes.
So 2 inside the jail, along with counseling and other behavioral talking and dealing with and helping people understand. And then once they get out, how is that going to be administered?
So it'll be the same connect. So they're not waiting to see another doctor. It'll be a continuum of services, and they'll have their doctor's appointment as soon as they get out. And they'll be able to get their injections, and then they'll have their counseling, too, and that'll continue. And it'll depend on the doctor, too, as far as the severity of their addiction. And it may be, you know, it could be 4 months, it could be 6 months in that process.
So do they come back to the jail, or where do they go?
They would go to an outside source to get the injections and the counseling.
Okay, and is that someone who has a relationship with the jail, or just any doctor?
There aren't a lot of doctors that are able to administer the Vivitrol at this point. So we're going to work with university health systems on there to make sure we have that continuum of services.
And also with the counseling,
yes.
And that's being covered by the grant.
Yes.
And talk about how you got this grant, TJ Mays.
Well, the Opioid Task Force decided we wanted to recommend a pilot program for the FY21 budget that the commissioners would be considering here in a few months. And then we got a grant solicitation from the governor's office kind of that day, and we decided, hey, let's submit a grant. So Mike's staff, Dr. Alan Castro, worked double time to get a grant application in there at the last minute. And so we're hoping that that money will come through and that we'll be able to fund this program and prove it up as a concept here in Bexar County so that we can attract more dollars for programs like this, which help us achieve many policy goals.
An interesting part of this drug is that it also blocks alcohol cravings. And so if an individual is, I guess, also dealing with chronic alcoholism, is that seen as something also that will be countered with this drug?
Absolutely. Yes, that gives us the opportunity because we do have people that are in jail there, and some are, you know, for could be with driving while intoxicated or have severe alcohol problems in that process, and we'll interview everybody, and as they get out of detox, and we'll find out whether it's drugs or alcohol, and then they can be evaluated to go into the program.
Do judges decide who's going to get in this program or not? Who decides?
So it's basically more of a medical decision. You know, is this person capable of being in the program and that they're voluntary? And then the way our criminal justice system is that individuals are assigned to certain courts. And then what we'll do is we'll approach each of the judges on there. And generally, they'll go with the treatment if you can show that there is a treatment program and the person's willing
And so if a person who is in jail and they're in there for a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. if they volunteer for this program and they seem to be doing well, will they get some time off? Do they get extra days off? How does that work?
Generally, probably not in the process. It may be a defense attorney could probably bring that in to the court as they're doing sentencing, and generally that will go in the defendant's favor that they completed a program and they'll have documentation toward that. So yes, it could help them.
And what about other possible medical issues that an individual might have? That should they have some sort of medical identification showing anyone that they're on this drug and that they should not be administered other narcotics for any kind of reason, say if they're in a traffic accident or something? You know, that's the way it's worked in other communities. Yeah. They want to signal that this individual is on this drug, so they may have a bracelet or something, and so that if they end up being medically treated for something else when they're unconscious, that the doctors know what's going on.
Well, I can't speak to that specific scenario. I do know that the prescription drug monitoring program use will be expanded under state law as of actually last September 1st. So we know that physicians and pharmacists will be looking at patients' histories with different prescriptions before filling another prescription.
Right, and so quickly, as we run out of time, T.J. Mays, can you give us an update on the lawsuit?
So the lawsuit is moving forward.
So this is Bexar County suing the large opioid manufacturers.
Bexar County suing the large opioid manufacturers. The lawsuit's moving forward. We believe that there will be a January trial, and we're on schedule for that. Lots of exchanges of documents right now, so pretty standard pretrial matters. One thing I will say about the lawsuit as it relates to this program is the commissioner's court decided that any money they get from the pharmaceutical companies will go to treatment, and I can't think of a better treatment program than medication-assisted treatment in the jail and a robust infrastructure for that. So I think these are the kinds of programs the commissioner's court had in mind, which makes that relevant to this program.
And there have been other lawsuits against those large opioid manufacturers recently, and they have been proven that the opioid manufacturers were at fault, they lost.
That's absolutely right. In Oklahoma, a judge who was a pretty conservative judge found Johnson & Johnson was liable for the opioid epidemic there and ordered more than $500 million, which went down to $460 million on appeal. And then in there have been many settlements with counties, actually, in other jurisdictions because they had that trial setting that put some pressure to help force a settlement, which could be an option for us. We are moving forward as if we were going to have a trial. We want to hold them accountable in a public forum, and we're working toward that at this point.
And everything else with the opioid task force?
We are moving along. We have the needle exchange program, comprehensive harm reduction program, which has a syringe services component that we're administering with the UT Health School of Nursing. We have this medication-assisted treatment program in the jail that we're continuing to work with. And then our partners are continuing to do great work, UT Health School of Nursing at the Long School of Medicine, Crosspoint, and many others are continuing to do the great work. So we're staying coordinated, and we're going to stay on top of this.
When do we expect to see this Vivitrol being administered? When does this all start?
So we're hoping that early March we'll get the final notification on it and the award, and then from there we'll start working out the specifics as far as who will do what in that process. So we're hoping probably maybe July, August of this year.
And you'll be tracking the individuals who go
yes.
through it, looking for some evidence that this is working and that it should be continued to be funded through another grant, or is this something that the county begins to adopt on its own?
It could go either way on that. So if we have the data showing that we're able to reduce recidivism, just like the Massachusetts study there with the sheriff's office on the reduction, then we can present that information to commissioner's court, and hopefully they'll fund that.
All right. Mike Lozito is the director of the Bexar County Criminal Justice Department, and also with us, T.J. Mays, chair of the Bexar County Opioid Implementation Task Force. We're talking about the drug Vivitrol that could play a role in helping Bexar County inmates and others beat the opioid addiction. When we come back from our break, we're going to be talking about the role of the Attorney General and if things have changed in Washington these days with William Barr. You can call in with your questions. Number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned.